a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
From CGTN headquarters here in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Xia Vandenberg. Coming up on the program, empowering growth. China's National Development and Reform Commission hosts meeting in Zhejiang to propel private economy and continue the innovation history for a new era. Expanding confidence. Starbucks and Apple amplify store presence in China as foreign firms ramp up recruitment, signaling strong confidence in Chinese market. Unveiling potential, we turn our spotlight on Haidan International Commercial Space Launch Center as China's sole commercial spaceport embarks on a new phase in national aerospace strategy. China is actively boosting the development of private companies. The National Development and Reform Commission recently launched three initiatives in Wenzhou, Zhejiang Province. These initiatives target employees, entrepreneurship, and the housing services sector. The first initiative trains 1 million employees annually by utilizing public training bases across China. This involves sharing locations, equipment, teachers, and courses among all training bases. The second initiative enhances entrepreneurship by increasing awareness of the country's development strategy among private company leaders. The goal is to improve their ability to transform and upgrade their companies, contributing to economic growth. The third initiative focuses on improving the quality of housekeeping services by training more professionals in senior care and housekeeping. China's private companies have seen increased private investment in manufacturing and infrastructure sectors, indicating a positive start to the new year. China aims to transform Nansha District in Guangzhou into a leading hub for innovation and advanced industries within the Greater Bay Area. The National Development and Reform Commission recently introduced guidelines to facilitate market access in Nansha, focusing on key sectors including high-end services, unmanned smart transportation, advanced marine equipment, and green development. Efforts will be made to establish standards for unmanned systems in air, sea, and land vehicles, positioning Nansha as a base for cutting-edge technologies. China's Commerce Ministry has announced plans to introduce a negative list for trade in services as part of its ongoing commitment to align its trade rules with international standards. During a recent press conference summarizing its work in trade and investment during 2023, the ministry emphasized its dedication to further opening up the Chinese market. Zhu Bing, director of the Foreign Investment Department at the Commerce Ministry, said China will systematically open up sectors such as telecommunications and healthcare, ensuring an orderly approach while expanding market access to digital products. Additionally, China aims to align its rules in areas such as the green economy, standard acknowledgement, and government procurement with international criteria, reflecting its efforts towards institutional opening up. Standard Chartered Securities commenced operations on Friday, establishing itself as the first wholly foreign-owned securities company on the Chinese mainland. The company, which was granted approval by the Chinese Securities Regulatory Commission, has a registered capital exceeding 1 billion yuan, or about 139 million U.S. dollars. It is a significant milestone for China's financial sector and reflects the country's efforts to further open up financial markets for foreign investment. Now, for more on China's financial sector opening up and foreign investment, let's cross to our reporter Chen Tong in Shanghai. Hi there, Chen Tong. So what's your perspective on the entry of foreign institutions into the Chinese market?
Well, yes, Standard Chartered actually has been in China for decades. But before the establishment of this securities firm, its business was limited to banking services. But now, the newly opened securities firm in China means they can now expand their business in China. And in 2020, China scrapped the limits on foreign financial institutions on owning securities firm in China. And since then, a batch of foreign financial institutions are showing their enthusiasm in the market. And not only Standard Chartered, other firms such as JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs have all opened their securities firm in China. And it's estimated that foreign companies own shares in about 18 securities firms in China, and 10 of them are controlled by foreign firms, and 3 of them are wholly owned by the foreign financial institutions. But not only these foreign financial institutions are showing their enthusiasm in the securities market, well, wealth management firms are also showing their interest. Just last month, three foreign wealth management firms have just opened their new offices in Shanghai. And I think all this have reflected that foreign companies are still showing their interest in the China market. And their arrival, I think, is of course bringing more job opportunities in China. Well, you know, March and April are usually the hot season for job hunting, and various job fairs have been held in China. And there are some sayings that the job market in China has been quite competitive recently. But some of these foreign financial institutions are actually expanding their recruitment plans in China. And just as you mentioned earlier, Apple just opened its second largest store in Shanghai yesterday. So I think all of this have reflected the passion from these foreign financial institutions in the market. And earlier I went to the Shanghai's financial district, Lu Jiazui, and I talked to some human resources experts to find out their recruitment plans in recent months.
The ongoing interview here is for a consumer banking position at the Singaporean bank DBS in Shanghai. Candidate Ivy Jiang has a short work experience, but is looking for new opportunities.
I submitted about 50 resumes and some 5 companies got back for interviews. The competition is indeed quite tough because every candidate has a good background.
The competition is tough indeed, but DBS is also increasing its headcount this year.
Our recruitment budget increased from last year. We plan to recruit in wealth management and operations sector, double the figure from last year.
DBS is not the only bank in Shanghai's financial district, Lu Jiazui, that is on a hiring spree. Fund manager HFT plans to hire 20 people in the autumn recruitment season. Though the performance of the stock market is not ideal lately, HFT is looking at the long-term development. The company is now looking for professionals with a background in computer science or research and development.
We're optimistic about the economy, so we need a long-term plan. If we start planning when the economy takes off, we will lose our initiative. Therefore, we need to reserve talent with the hiring of experienced hands, as well with on-campus recruitment drives.
Though there still are economic uncertainties, the increase of recruitment in Lu Jiazui reflects the robustness of the financial sector in China.
We are really super busy. So from the start of the year, we have seen increased demands of our financial, like the wealth management services. So because of the amount of work and the number of inquiries from clients, we are also step out internal hiring as well to meet the increased demand in our services.
Just last month, 3 new foreign wealth management firms opened offices in Shanghai. Their arrival is sure to bring more job opportunities into the city.
It's estimated that Shanghai has some 500,000 people working in the finance industry. But walking on the streets of Lu Jiazui Financial District, you probably not see many people because they're busy crunching numbers at office buildings. And with more firms expand their headcount this spring, I think the financial market in China is only growing more and more robust. Chen Tong, CGTN, Shanghai.
American tech giant Apple opened a new flagship store in Shanghai on Thursday. It's the Chinese megacity's 8th Apple store and the company's 2nd biggest globally. Wu Bing brings us this report.
Many Apple fans even queued the night before to become the first customers. At 7 o'clock, Apple CEO Tim Cook and staff at the new store welcomed the first batch of customers outside.
I waited from 6 a.m. this morning, about 13 hours.
I am extremely excited. I can see Tim and O'Brien. Tim signed his autograph and we took a picture together.
Apple Jing'an is now the company's flagship store in China and the 2nd biggest after 5th Avenue in New York City. The new store covers over 3,800 square meters and has attracted more than 18 million yuan, or nearly $12 million US in investment. The opening of the new store in Shanghai brings the total number in the Greater China region to 57. Despite facing fierce competition from Chinese smartphone giants, the American firm continues to have faith in the market. It has invested 1 billion yuan, or nearly 140 million US dollars, into its applied research lab in Shanghai and will now open a new one in Shenzhen, Guangdong Province.
The combination of the two things together, I think, reflects the company's positive view about China's market demand and its grasp of investment opportunities in China.
On Tuesday, China's State Council released an action plan to attract foreign investment. It says the country will carry out pilot projects to relax requirements for foreign investment access in certain fields, including technological innovation.
My interpretation of the action plan is that we're talking about China's modernization all the time, but it can't be done if you close the door to the outside world. That's why we see in the government work report this year that China's gate to the world will open wider and wider.
During Tim Cook's trip to Shanghai, the Apple CEO has met with local suppliers, including the president of BYD. He's also expected to head to Beijing to meet senior policymakers to attend the China Development Forum next week. We'll be CGTN, Shanghai.
Meanwhile, Apple has been embroiled in a major legal battle in its home country. On Thursday, the U.S. Department of Justice, along with 15 states and the District of Columbia, collectively filed a lawsuit against Apple. The tech giant is being accused of engaging in monopolistic practices through the implementation of exclusively rules tied to features such as iMessage and Apple Pay. These rules allegedly aim to hinder users from switching to smartphones manufactured by other suppliers. Now, for more discussions on the latest developments in China's securities market and the opening of a new Apple store in Shanghai, let's bring in Qu Qiang, a fellow of the Belt and Road Research Center in Minzu University of China. Qu Qiang, good to see you. So how does this opening of the Standard Chartered Securities reflect China's financial market opening up to foreign capital?
Well, I think this event is absolutely one of the milestones showing up China's further and a comprehensive opening up to the foreign investors as well as to the businesses. Well, everybody knows cross-border capital flow, international financial investment is usually a sweet problem. So when the economy goes up, international, you know, cross-border capital flow will always, you know, try to accelerate the bubbles and upgrade the value of the domestic assets. When the economy slows down, sometimes it will put a force on impact on the sales of the assets, forcing the devaluations of the domestic assets as well as putting a pressure on the country's foreign reserve. So usually it's always been a privilege, if you take a look around the world, it's always a privilege of the developed nations or the financial centers could allow such availability and the free market access of the international investors. For example, in New York, in Tokyo, in London, or Hong Kong, China, they would have such a kind of a maturity, you know, market system as well as a policy system to allow that kind of access. So this move of China right now opening up the financial market, it shows that China is already, you know, make a lot of preparation in the regulations, in the law systems, market maturity products, and also the government services. And I think this is only a beginning. And in the future, there are going to be more of the opening up policies coming up, and more of the international financial companies and investors could get access to the Chinese market and get their healthy returns through this investment.
Yeah. And what positive impacts can this opening of this Standard Chartered Securities have on the development of China's domestic financial market?
Well, in China, we have a word, it's called catfish effect, which means if you want your domestic market to grow really healthy and really sustainable, you always have to bring in the outside challengers. I think a Standard Charter is one of these catfish because Standard Charter, well, let's be honest, is not quite a big giant, you know, bank, but they have their specialty. They're the real expert in the offshore banking. For example, Standard Charter has a you know, very well-known expertise operation in many different foreign markets. They've been providing financial services, loan services, as well as other insurance services to, you know, differentiated, you know, markets and investors in all over the world, especially in the developing nations. China right now has a Belt and Road Initiative, and the Chinese banking players are also trying to go outside of China, try to join in this, you know, investment, you know, presence. So how can we learn from the international standard and reach? How can we just, you know, get the most advanced knowledge and expertise from the international counterparts? I think Standard Chartered and their entry into Chinese market will bring us very positive, you know, influences.
Thank you so much for your insights. Great to have you on the show always. Qu Tang, fellow of the Belt and Road Research Center in Minzu University of China. Shanghai is a city highly favored by international brands, with flagship stores, pop-up shops, and collaborations constantly emerging. Starbucks, one of the over 6,000 international companies in China, has chosen Shanghai to open another huge coffee shop. Join Sean Caleb's Leisure Afternoon to check more details.
Starbucks is among the 6,000 or so international companies doing business in China. The coffee giant wants to get Chinese citizens to switch from sipping tea to guzzling coffee and has plans to have 9,000 stores here by 2025. You would think it would be easy to find a seat in such a cavernous building, but think again, and there are lots of people just buying gifts.
So I just cannot believe how big this is. There cannot be a bigger Starbucks than what I just walked in and out of. And it's absolutely amazing, and it's full of people. You know, you go into one in the U.S., and it's a little side shop. This is like a mall of coffee. I mean, plenty of gifts to get.
Sean Cadlebs, CGTN in Shanghai.
Still to come. We turn our spotlight on Hainan International Commercial Space Launch Center as China's sole commercial space port embarks on a new phase in national aerospace strategy.
Every March, Beijing is the heart of a premier global business event, the China Development Forum. Here, the titans of global business and the architects of China's policy landscape meet. From the future of global growth, to accelerating sustainable development, to spotlighting the forefront of innovation, CGTN brings you exclusive insights that drive change in the Chinese economy and beyond. Join us at CDF 2024, only on CGTN.
In China, the aerospace industry goes beyond space exploration and holds significant economic potential for remote areas and smaller cities. For instance, in the northwestern city of Jinchang, a section of the Gobi Desert has been transformed into an immersive outer space theme park that replicates the Martian environment. Drawing inspiration from China's Mars probe photos, part of the Mars Base One Park have been created in 2023. The park welcomed around 80,000 visitors, with the millennials and Gen Z comprising the majority. Meanwhile, on the east coast of China, the city of Haiyang in Shandong province has become a popular destination for tourists due to its sea launches. Since 2019, Haiyang has facilitated the launches of the Long March 11 solid rocket and various commercial rockets. The city has invested over 26 billion yuan, or about 3.6 billion US dollars, in spaceport construction, rocket manufacturing, and aerospace-related tourism. China's Hainan province, located in the southernmost part of the country, is making significant efforts to enhance its productivity and prioritize technological innovation and industrialization. As part of these initiatives, Hainan is now venturing into new sectors such as aerospace. Our reporter Aaron Liu recently visited Hainan's pioneering commercial space launch sites, where he explored the latest developments in the space industry and witnessed the ongoing wave of reforms taking place.
In 2024, Orion Space, an independent aerospace company, successfully launched the Gravity 1 carrier rocket into the air near Shandong in a sea-based launch. The flight test mission was a resounding success, marking a significant achievement for China's commercial space launch industry.
Tears are about to fall. The scene has strengthened my desire for future exploration in technology.
This marks a milestone in China's commercial space launch. Such a new company has created so many new technologies.
Commercial aerospace has emerged as a prominent force driving technological progress. According to official data, China conducted a total of 67 space launches in 2023, 26 of which were commercial launches. These commercial launches achieved an impressive success rate of 96%. Xu Guoguang, the chief designer of the Gravity 1 project, shared his sentiments about this achievement as the designer of the country's largest commercial aerospace launch vehicle.
We have placed our emphasis on two key aspects in the development of our rockets, capacity and price. Our goal is to better cater to the requirements of satellite companies. At present, the price of our solid rockets stands at 60,000 RMB per kilogram, resulting in a price reduction of at least 40 to 50%.
Simultaneously, the city of Wenchang, situated on the coast of China, is witnessing the convergence of upstream and downstream industries.
Long March 8 series of rockets should be familiar to everyone, with its advantages in carrying capacity gradually becoming the main force of China's medium and low orbit rockets. So what does its highly anticipated new position look like? Let's take a look.
Welcome to Launchpad Number 1, a remarkable achievement within the Hainan International Commercial Aerospace Launch Center. According to Gu Lixin, the head of the equipment department, this launch pad was meticulously constructed over a period of 1.5 years, reaching completion by the end of 2023.
The construction of Launch Pad Number 1 marks the implementation of several cutting-edge technologies for the first time. Notably, the introduction of a cone exhaust guide and extrusion water spray system has revolutionized the cooling and noise reduction processes. The construction of this launch pad began in July 2022 and has now entered the final stages of equipment installation, nearing completion.
Let's take a different perspective to look at the first position. We are now at the top of a launch tower, which is a total of 83 meters high, equivalent to the height of more than 20 floors. The view from Babel is very nice, overlooking the entire Hainan International Commercial Aerospace Launch Center. Can you see that the huge crane? It is used to assemble rockets on the launch pad.
Both launch pad number 1 and launch pad number 2 have been meticulously designed to accommodate over 10 types of rockets from 9 manufacturers. By maximizing the number of rocket launches, economies of scale can be achieved, leading to lower overall costs per launch. To optimize efficiency, both launch pads have been specifically designed to facilitate up to 16 launches per year, ensuring the maximum utilization of the facilities.
According to experts, the number of commercial satellites in orbit within the country is projected to exceed 1,200 within the next 5 years. This surge in satellite deployment indicates a substantial increase in launch demands. RTL CGTN, Wenchang.
Now for more on the insights of commercial aerospace industry, let's bring in Zhang Yichi, founder and CEO of Space Lab China. Mr. Zhang, good to see you. So what notable progress has China made in recent years in the development of its commercial aerospace industry?
Thanks for having me. Since I was on CGTN about a year ago, there has been a lot of milestones and achievements in the commercial sector aerospace in China. Well, we're the first country to achieve a liquid methane propelled rocket to orbit in the commercial space sector by a company called Landspace. We also we're way ahead on the sea launches globally. Right now, since we just mentioned Haiyang, we're taking more flexible launches on the commercial space sector than many other countries launching from land. Also, we're building on new technologies for reusable rockets. We're looking forward to see a fully reusable rocket being developed in China by the commercial space sector, launching maybe by late this year or in next year. At Northwestern Polytechnical University, where I'm at right now, we're developing a new technology called RBCC, Rocket-Based Combined Cycle. For a single stage to orbit, a fully reusable spacecraft. I think there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in the space industry right now.
Yeah, and what kind of advancement of commercial aerospace, how will this affect the global aerospace industry and other related sectors?
Well, now China, we offer the most orbital capable commercial companies in the world. We now possess more than 10 orbital capable companies in the commercial sector here in China. So once you have enough options for a ride to orbit, then the cost will dramatically decrease. So, for example, if you're a global shipping company, you could imagine your own satellites in orbit, tracking your own vessels globally. We can imagine for EV companies, for electric vehicles, you could have your own satellites to enhance your self-driving capabilities. Once you have a big enough industry, you start to build your own supply chains. Right now, for advanced manufacturing, for aerospace, there are startups doing that for commercial, especially exclusively for commercial aerospace companies in China.
And what are the reasons behind this increased pace of development in commercial aerospace by not just China, but multiple countries?
Well, first of all, everyone wants a piece of pie in the growing space industry, especially mega constellations for communication and for surveillance and for navigation. So you don't want to be left out. If you're a smaller country, you can't pull enough resources together to put together a government-funded space program. So commercial space will be the only way out. For example, a small country like New Zealand, they didn't have a space program before, but they supported the commercial space ventures. They have a company called Rocket Lab. And after Rocket Lab existed, they're now the second largest launch entity apart from SpaceX in the world commercially. Now New Zealand is in the front runner of commercial space in the world. Also, if you're a commercial space company, your primary interest will be commercial. So you're either making money, you're saving money, or you're raising money. So we're pulling a lot of external resources into the industry to grow the business. So we're seeing in the past 5 years, a lot of external resources have been pulled into the space industry to grow the business. I think that's why multiple countries are looking to grow their own commercial space ventures.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. Thank you so much for your insights, Zhang Yichi, founder and CEO of Space Lab China for us. And that will do it for this edition of Global Business. I'm Michelle Vandenberg in Beijing. Stay with us.